Seattle criminal defense attorney Jeffrey Robinson grew up in Memphis, Tennessee in the 1960s. In 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King led a march there that erupted in violence. Some of the demonstrators were arrested and prosecuted, and Robinson's father took him to the courtroom to see the trial.
There were a lot of people that were arrested, including people from my community that I'd been brought up to respect, educators, ministers, and my dad took me to court to see a court proceeding, and seemingly out of nowhere, these people called criminal defense lawyers were standing up and talking about the First Amendment and the right to protest and how the police had used excessive force, and I was amazed and awed.
And from that moment, Robinson knew he wanted to be a defense attorney, too. Now, after a 34-year-long career doing just that, he is stepping away from the job. Jeffrey Robinson will leave for New York soon to take a position as director of the Center for Justice for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU. Robinson told me he has loved defending clients in the courtroom, so leaving the job was a really tough decision for him.
But I think that we are living in a time that presents an historic opportunity. Not in the last half century have there been conversations about race and criminal justice like the conversations going on today. And I remember a half century ago and the things that were transformative at that time. I could see it on the faces of my parents. And so things that we look at today and we think, man, you know, that was so silly and it's minor. But things like being able to drink from the same water fountain, things like being able to ride at the front of the bus, those things were transformative at the time, given the state of America at that time. We look back on them now and think, well, those things were silly, they were stupid, they were racist, and so of course they should have been changed. Well, what is transformative depends on the time that you're living in. And what I believe is transformative now is the opportunity to not only have this conversation about race and criminal justice and mass incarceration, but to actually do something about it.
So looking back 50 years to when some of those events took place and thinking about water fountains or access to public transportation, it seems that we've come a long way, that there's been a lot of change. How optimistic are you that in the next 10, 20 years, we will see a quicker transformation, a quicker path towards equality for Americans?
Well, you know, anybody that is familiar with the teachings of Dr. King is probably familiar with the fact that in 1967, he said, you know, that dream I talked about in 63, it's basically turned into a nightmare. And as he said, the civil rights movement got some of the gains at bargain basement rates. Didn't cost anything to integrate lunch counters. Didn't cost anything to integrate buses. It put more money into the economy. Didn't cost anything to get the right to vote. But we have an institutional racism that has been in the United States since its inception. And dismantling that is going to cost something. It's going to cost effort. It's going to cost re-education. It's going to cost changing people's minds. And it's going to cost money. So am I optimistic? Yeah, I am optimistic because I really think this is a tipping point. But I think that, as I said earlier, looking back at those things like the water fountains and the lunch counters, those things seem so trivial now. They seem like, why would anybody be even thinking about trying to have segregation in those places? They were transformative then, but now not so much, because the fact that I can sit at a lunch counter doesn't help me if I come out of prison and I can't get a job and I can't get government services to help me get an education and I'm sitting with nothing to do but try and take care of myself with very, very limited options. So those are the areas, and I think that reentry area is probably one of the most critical areas in this fight, because no matter what you do on the front end and no matter what you do in the middle, if the people coming out on the back end, if the people coming out of prison do not have an opportunity to reintegrate themselves into our communities, we're not going to solve this problem. And there used to be this concept that if you went to prison, you paid your debt to society. And once your debt is paid, then you don't owe anything else. And we have to look at getting back to that kind of an ethic to give folks who are coming out of prison a chance. There is this us and them mentality about folks who go to prison, and we think it's them. And quite frankly, it's us. Virtually every adult in America has committed a crime, just didn't get caught for it.
So at the Center for Justice, how do you work on those sorts of big issues?
There are three projects within the Center for Justice: the National Prison Project, the Capital Punishment Project, and the Criminal Law Reform Project. And the women and men who work in those different projects have been working daily and for years to reform the criminal justice system. I think a thing that has kind of upped the ante, if you will, is that one of the George Soros foundations gave a $50 million gift to the ACLU specifically to work on ending mass incarceration. And the ACLU already tapped another Seattleite, Allison Holcomb, to lead the legislative effort in that regard. And she is working state to state across the country on legislation that can help end mass incarceration.
Specifically for people who are not part of the legal system, how do you make those kinds of changes, practically speaking?
Well, we have in America 5% of the world's population. We have 25% of the imprisoned population of everyone on the face of the planet. Something is wrong there, because I do not believe that America is criminally inclined five times more than any other country in the world. So how do you end the idea of mass incarceration? At one point, we're talking about hearts and minds. We're talking about everyone in America looking at this and deciding, you know what, this has been done on my watch. This has been done while I've been a voter, while I have been a lawyer. I've been a criminal defense lawyer since 1981, and that was the beginning of the greatest increase in incarceration in the history of the country. I'm not proud of that. So how do you end it? Funding, training, and caseload management for public defenders who represent most of the people in this country is absolutely critical. It's constitutionally required, and it will not fix the problem, not by a long shot, because there are policies and power that sit with prosecutors in this country that is just unprecedented.
So some of that, then, you mentioned Allison Holcomb, who people might remember her name for the fight to legalize marijuana in the state of Washington. That's a fight that she spearheaded locally. Her job in terms of legislative change will be to work state by state with state legislatures.
Right.
What about case law and actual precedents?
The Center for Justice will use litigation, advocacy, the willingness to work with jurisdictions and communities on changes that we think are important. We will use any means that is legal, moral, and ethical to address this problem. And part of that means that going to the quote-unquote experts in the area is really important. But there are other people that have ideas as well. There are people working in communities with folks who have actually been in prison that don't have to think theoretically about what are the problems, because they can see them right in front of their face. Those people have an important base of knowledge that has to be tapped into. And so part of the job, I think, is going in with a completely open mind and saying, what can we do that we haven't done before? Because I think, especially at this time, the most dangerous phrase in the language, the English language, is this is the way we've always done it.
Jeffrey Robinson has been named director of the Center for Justice for the ACLU. He's been a defense attorney here in Seattle for the past 34 years. Robinson will start his new job in the fall.